It's big announcement time.
Drum roll, please.
We are going on tour.
Just, yay!
Northern News, live around the North.
Of course it's around the North.
We're not doing any Southern dates on this tour.
No way. We are going to the big ones, our big ones in the North. We're going Sheffield.
23rd of June.
We're going Hull.
26th of June.
We're going Leeds.
27th of June.
And we're rounding it off in Manchester.
On the 28th of June.
What a week.
Oh my God. We've done some live shows in Edinburgh and London. And we love them so much.
They're so much fun.
We do little fun headlines. There's slides. There's visuals.
Oh, it's brilliant. We can't wait to do it. And we can't wait to see you there. We'll see you in person. You'll see us in person.
You'll see our faces. You'll see whatever attempt at merch I've cobbled together in a shed.
So get your tickets now for the Northern News live tour at plosive.co.uk. That is plosive.co.uk.
We're going to get chunked out of our beans.
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Northern News, a podcast with me, Ian Smith.
And me, Amy Gledhill. I'm from a lovely little place called Hull.
And I'm from the thinking man's Pontefract, Goole.
And we've been living in London, much to our family's shame, for too long.
So, we're going to be trawling the newspapers to find out all the stories we've missed from the North.
This is Northern News!
Hello, everybody,
hello,
and welcome
everyone.
To nearly a year of Northern News.
Wow!
We're one ep away from having done this for a year.
A full year of being in each other's lives. I don't mean just me and you, I mean like us in their lives.
I was going to say, we met before episode one.
Day one we met. We just clicked, thank God.
When we do the year episode, if you've listened to them all,
wow.
That's crazy.
That's great.
In a good way. That's... Not saying, why have you done that?
Some people will have listened to every episode. Imagine that.
How many hours is that? Oh, well, 52.
It's 52, mate.
It's like nearly 52 hours.
But we haven't done full hours.
No. But I reckon it'll be nearly 2 days.
Oh, my God.
Of solid listening to
us. Oh, my God. You could put it on and you could fly to Australia and back and you'd still would still be in their ears. They could go around the world and we'd be in their ears.
I might have told you this, but I'm going to a flight simulator to see if I can land a passenger plane with no training as part of a Radio 4 show.
Shut up.
So I just turned up to the flight simulator and I'm going to have someone on a walkie-talkie being like, that the idea is the pilots are dead and you've gone, let me have a go to see if I could do it. And apparently the chances of doing it are extremely slim.
Really?
But if I land a plane... I'm going to be the worst person to be around for 2 weeks. Someone will be talking to me and I'll just be glazed over. It's like, have you finished? I landed a plane, no training. I landed
no
a plane.
Training.
Mr. Smith, you've got to listen to these test results. Well, I'm a legend. That's probably what they say. I might have told you this before, but I'm going to go hug a cow. I'm going to go to a naturist park. I'm going to smash up a room in a ridge room.
A naturist park?
You know.
Nudies?
Yeah.
You're going to be nudie?
I'm going to talk to some nudies.
You're going to have to be nudie.
And then I'm going to have a ping pong game.
Ian!
I'm naked now. No one's got a problem with it.
Are you going to have a naked ping pong game?
Ideally, yeah.
But
I want to smash someone at ping pong. I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh my God, I feel horrible.
But I'm going to do an episode about the body.
What if they've got intimidatingly big genitalia?
I think they'll be okay. They'll be okay with me. using it as a racket. I don't need that bat.
The thing is, when you're doing ping pong, your eye line is like where the ball bounces and stuff. You're going to be looking at genitalia quite intensely. There's going to be no point of while you're playing ping pong that it's not going to be in your view.
Badminton then, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe. Well, no, I'm not saying looking at genitalia is a bad thing. I'm just pointing it out that that's quite an intense thing to do. Have you been to a nature's park before?
No, and the idea of going to one terrifies me.
Oh, my God.
But that's why I think it will be funny.
And this is going on the radio?
Yeah.
Bonkers.
You can't see dicks on the radio.
Absolutely bonkers.
I've always said that. I'm going to be mic'd up. I don't know where they're putting it.
Fuck me.
Well, I've like mic sellotape to my chest. The battery pack don't, up the bumhole.
It's
I'm sorry.
Be, hasn't it? Or clipped onto pubic hair.
No.
Oh, my God. Ian, yeah. Wow.
But it's all about body confidence.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to some of these, you know, balls out, bits out.
Yeah.
Say, why are you not bothered by this? This is going to be my main question.
Yeah.
Are you perverts or normal? That's going to be my line of questioning.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because, like, they want that to be the norm, I suppose, in a lot of ways, don't they?
Well, I don't know. Listen,
I don't know, really.
The radio series is probably due soon. I haven't done any of the research for this. But I think they just like it. It would be nice to be able to be comfortable in your body enough to be around everyone and not be like, this is weird. But I'm not saying that, like, they're going to make me go, clothes are a prison on the body. I just think, yeah, wear clothes. But it would be nice to be able to...
Do you know what it is for me, right? I think clothes are good, particularly, like, even just underwear, because it covers up bits that are entrances and exits to the body.
Yes.
And I feel like you can be as confident in your body as you like. Don't sit on my sofa with no pants on.
Yeah. All entrances and exits should be covered up.
For your own sake as well. What if you get something up there that you don't want, like sand?
Yeah.
Or an insect?
So ideally you want underwear on.
Yeah.
Face mask, earmuffs, sunglasses.
Yeah, big nappy.
All entrance.
Nipples protected.
Yeah.
You can have your boobies out, have your chest out, whatever. But nipples protected, because I feel like they're... delicate little things, and if you got it caught in a door? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're getting your nipple caught in a door, fucking hell. You wanted that to happen.
Yeah, well, what I've been doing this week, my little thing that I was going to tell you, is sort of about that, and it's about standing on the platform for the tube.
Yeah.
Right?
Wondering when nipples are going to come into this.
Oh, they do. On the platform of the tube, and it's busy, but it's not like rammo, it's just quite busy.
Yeah.
And I'm stood there and I've got my rucksack on and I've got it over both shoulders, as I do, because I'm cool, right? But I've got my rucksack to the wall. So I'm basically back to the wall with a rucksack in between. There's loads of places that people could stand. This woman comes and she stands right in front of me, like completely in front of me.
Well, like back to you.
Back to me.
Yeah.
She could have stood anywhere. And I was so... I didn't even move because I was just like shocked, like looking around like, is this a prank? And she had such big voluminous hair. Her hair was like so close to me. And then she stood back and she backed herself into my tits. But then she turned round and tutted at me like I'd snuck in there. And she turned around and she went, what?
That drives me mad for some people.
I was absolutely livid.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, excuse me, you've just stood so close to me that you're touching my actual body.
She's tutting at you.
And she's tutting at me. I can't move any further back because I've got 6 Pepsi Max cherries in my rucksack. They're not soft. They're not going to squash into the wall.
I'd leave that bit out when you're having a go.
Right. Mm. Yeah. You got it, haven't you,
It's just extra information that's not needed.
Okay. So just focus on your back is touching my nipplets.
Yes.
Yeah, just say that.
Yeah, bam.
But if I was in a nudist place and they did that, I would call the police.
Yeah, I think you've got to respect people's boundaries in a nature's camp.
Yeah.
But once I've been, I'll let you know how it goes.
God, that's so brave, Ian.
You'll know if I've enjoyed it. Come in. Hello, everyone. My eyes are here. Tattooed two eyes on my penis.
£6 for a pint.
What's been going on in the north of England, as far as you're concerned?
Ian, let me tell you. This has happened, and it's beautiful. Runaway emu put up, quotation marks, quite a fight while resisting arrest.
I don't think it can resist an arrest. It's just not...
Oh, I think it definitely can. Of course it can.
Yeah.
Well, it can resist being... Yeah, it might not understand the concept of being arrested. Yeah.
But it's resisting being grabbed.
Yeah. Being cuffed.
Where is this?
Where? You want to know where? I'll tell you exactly where. Lincolnshire.
That some people say, we're talking south north. A lot. Some people
south
be like,
north.
Lincolnshire's the Midlands. Lincoln is northern.
Lincoln is real northern. Mm. But Lincolnshire's huge, isn't it? When
Too
I drive
big.
Through it to get back to London, I'll be driving for ages and then I'm still in Lincolnshire and I think, you're having a bloody laugh, aren't you?
Mm.
Where's Peterborough? Is that Lincolnshire? No, but it's getting there, isn't it? It's like Lincolnshire for ages.
I think we should split it up.
In two?
Well, like Yorkshire's got east, west, north Yorkshire, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Have north Lincolnshire.
I think we'll have
that on the pod. Oh, is there a north Lincolnshire?
I'm sure they don't just, yeah.
Oh, someone's been listening to me.
I'm sure somebody's described. Yeah, East Links. East Lincolnshire. I'm sure somebody would. It'd be mad to not. Imagine if that's the only place in the whole world where they're like, no, we don't use compasses here. We will not be describing ourselves as East Lincolnshire.
Maybe they're like up Lincolnshire,
up, down left,
Lincolnshire.
Right. Where? Left Lincolnshire. Good name for a political
Water
party.
Water Lincolnshire is the coast.
Yeah. Land.
Land Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
Is not the coast.
Yeah. Top Lincolnshire.
Sky.
Sky. Bottom Lincolnshire. Ground.
Yeah. Underground colonies.
Well, I'm glad we've sorted that out.
What's the emu done?
Well, the Australian bird was wrestled into the back of a patrol car. Wrestled into the back of a patrol car by two officers after it was seen wandering in the road near RAF Coningsby.
Now, Amy.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a crime.
I guess.
Wandering in the road? I was breaking the law earlier today.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? But maybe it's because it's an emu.
Okay, yeah, no, I see your point. You've had no patience with me there, you know. I don't know, Ian, maybe because it's a fucking emu. Not supposed to be in the road, you fucking idiot. No, that is fair enough.
But I would still say it's not a crime. It's just they're helping the emu. But why is it being arrested? Yeah, do you know, you've got a good point here.
Why can't they just say
free the
they were trying
emu.
To grab an emu because it had got lost or whatever. They're like, they were reading the rights to an emu.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the right to remain silent.
Is that what the sound they make?
They must. I could imagine that being more realistic, actually. Emu sound.
That's what I'm going for.
Right, so I've gone... Let's see. And one of the biggest reveals in podcasting history. Okay, well, anticlimax, but the reveal is they go...
That's not. Was that coming out of their mouth? It sounded
like purring.
Oh, was it? I thought that was them walking in mud.
I don't know. I hate emus. I hated that. I hated that noise that they made.
That can't be the noise they made.
Well, that's according to YouTube, Wikipedia of videos.
According to YouTube, it's wah.
And all three are valid.
Oh, well, anyway, this emu has been caught wandering around in the road and it took two officers, and let me tell you, it was quite challenging by the sounds of it, to get into the back of a van. No, that can't be right. They must put it in a van. It can't be in a car, can it? It's a strong bird and put up some resistance to being put in the back seat of a patrol car. They didn't put it in the back of a van.
Oh, and it's going to be pecking you from the back seat.
They put it in the back seat of a patrol car? That's insane. Oh, hang on. They had called for a police van, but it was out on another job.
Oh,
one of the officers drove while the other held the bird in the back seat.
And as well, if the van's already out, like there's a riot going on, they're like, yeah, we've got an emu in the road. All right, yeah, I might just carry on to this riot.
You know, an emu. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to do the thing. We're going to save some lives first and foremost. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all right. We can probably put it back in the back of the Corsa. Yeah, don't worry about it.
One of them's doing the old journey, just like...
Yeah. Emus are massive.
Yeah.
They're real big. They have them in East Park in Hull. And they're big, scary things.
What, roaming? Just roaming about?
No.
Or are they fenced off?
There's a big enclosure. And they had wallabies and peacocks and emus and guinea pigs and rabbits and deer. It's absolutely fantastic.
What a mad collection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guinea pigs, like you'd have in your house.
Yeah.
And deer.
Yeah. They weren't able to track down where the bird had come from. So the emu was taken to Tattershall Farm Park in Lincolnshire, where a spokeswoman said it had settled in well. So it's a happy ending to this story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do think that the bird shouldn't have been arrested.
Yeah, it hasn't committed a crime. And now it's had to go, it's like going to a new school. It's got to walk into the farm like, you know, everyone.
Yeah, I am. I'm emu.
Yeah, do a little presentation about itself. To all your animals.
Yeah. Oh, little...
I've just been arrested.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, danger. Danger, emu.
What you done? What you done? I was jaywalking.
Ugh. You'd be like in prison if you...
Yeah.
If you got into prison for jaywalking.
If you was in prison and someone said, what did you do? And you said jaywalking and they were like, oh, whatever. And then you went, I am an emu. And they were like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
Thought something looked weird about you. I didn't want to say anything because there's no bullying in this prison.
Have you heard who's died?
I'd like to move on, please, Ian, to find out what's been happening in the north.
Well, this is about a pensioner who is so fed up with the faded road markings, he's repainted them himself.
Oh.
He doesn't have one of those machines, you know, the paint thing that does it.
Well, why would he? But why? Who does?
Well, this guy, luckily, has a paintbrush and absolutely nothing can impact his self-esteem because he's done... They don't look good. I mean, you can tell what they say, but they look like a pensioner has done them himself.
Oh, let's see.
They're not bad.
All right.
They're just a bit squigglier than... Listen, they're not bad.
They're not bad.
But if you're driving down the street, you'd be like, these are different to all the others.
Yeah.
These are more avant-garde.
I think if I was driving and I saw signs like that, I'd be like, this is a prank. As in, not the signs are bad, but you'd be like, so it's they're definitely like hand-drawn.
Or you wouldn't trust where they're
going.
And
you'd be like, somebody's written this on and they're trying to take me down a dark path here.
So you'd see the arrow pointing left for the A5033 and you'd be like, I think I'll be going right. I'm not falling for this prank.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's Peter Sharrett wanted to shame Cheshire East Council over the markings close to a confusing roundabout in Upmarket Knutsford, which he claims have become a death trap.
We've had Knutsford on the pod kind of recently. I feel like that's maybe where the Barbie registration plate was from.
The road situation in Knutsford is crazy.
It's wild.
There's a Barbie car. I don't know where it's going. No road markings. Yeah, he sprayed arrows indicating the lanes motorists need to be in to travel onto different roads.
That's really, it shouldn't be up to a pensioner to do this. It's really good that he's done it. But what a sad state of affairs.
I'm sure it is dangerous, but he does seem to be exaggerating. Like Death Trap, he said this is a lethal lack of markings.
Mm.
A very dangerous situation. People are very confused. I've witnessed a number of car crashes.
Oh.
It's crazy on this roundabout. He said, I wrote to the council only to receive a perfunctory and unhelpful response.
Oh, dear.
And when Peter gets perfunct, he gets his spray paint out and he does it himself.
And he gets punked. Don't perfunk punk.
Don't perfunk Peter the punk.
Yes. Never perfunct Peter the Punk.
But yeah, it's weird that he's just allowed to do these.
I guess anybody's allowed. No, nobody's allowed. Which one is it, Ian?
Yeah, I guess you're not allowed.
Can I draw on my road?
Yeah, who owns the road? I guess the council.
Well, us, isn't it? Taxpayers.
Yeah, but
I guess technically we own the road.
But you could say that about, like, if a railway service is nationalised, yeah, right? I'm not paying for a ticket. I own this, actually.
I'm the owner. More like my dad. Well, taxpayers own the roads. Do what I like with my bit of road. Don't know why my dad's Cockney.
Yeah. You've spray painted fuck on your road. You spray painted fuck off and a big arrow pointing away from your house.
Yeah, I have, because I own this bit of road.
This is my road.
I paid for that.
So what are you angry about?
It must be scary painting on a road, though.
You're like crouching down.
Yeah.
He'd have to be high-vised out of his mind.
Oh, you've got to be. He's got traffic cones. You'd see him from space.
Yeah.
To be safe.
He's got this little set of 4 traffic cones, which I think he puts around himself.
Oh, they're tiny traffic cones.
Tiny. He's probably made them himself.
Oh, come on, Cheshire Council. That's so mad that this is what it's come to. Well, pensioners doing arts and crafts in the middle of junctions off roundabouts.
That is almost the exact quote that someone has said. It beggars belief that the council is now relying on a 71-year-old pensioner with a spray can.
It does beg a belief.
We always end up relying on pensioners. Captain Tom.
Yeah.
Saving the NHS.
Yeah.
Single-handedly.
What does beggar's belief mean? I've never confidently used it.
I guess it just means, like, it's beyond belief. You can't believe it.
Is it a beggar's belief?
Let's have a look. Beggar's belief.
Do you beg a belief?
If something beggars belief, it is impossible to believe it. If something beggars description, it is impossible to describe it.
Oh. So to beggar something
means for it to be impossible.
It's impossible.
Yeah, I don't know what it means.
Could you, like, beggar love and it's impossible to get love?
Fucking hell.
Beggar what's it?
This episode has got sad. Beggar love is impossible. But yeah, I guess if you're like, it beggars love that, it'd be like, it's impossible to love it.
Well.
Like that emu beggars love. That's how we talk, that's our language.
It's stupid, isn't it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That's my gravy, you daft sod. Bing bong. It's Amy here saying, why not join our Patreon?
Oh, you've got to join. If you like bonus weekly episodes, that is.
If you like just supporting a podcast that you bloody love.
And if you like supporting a podcast that you bloody love and occasionally getting discount ticket prices to go see that podcast that you bloody love live.
Wowee. And it's cheap.
Oh, it's cheap.
It's cheaper than a bag of Aunt Bessie's.
It's cheaper than a pint.
You can't say fairer than that. Join our Patreon for bonus content. What's for tea, Mum?
And now it's time for our special guest, Shaprak Khorsandi, who was born in Tehran, which is in northern Iran. It's a northern guest.
It's a northern guest.
Shaprak, first question, I'm coming in pretty big here. Is there a north-south divide in Iran?
Well, I'm very excited that I've been called a northerner for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. There probably is. I mean, there's probably a north-south divide. There's probably an east-west divide, a bit more to the left and a bit down there divide. I don't know. But I think there always is, isn't there? In every country, there's always a divide between one part and another part, and also a part of the country that everyone else says shag sheep.
Oh. Whereabouts do you live currently?
I live in West London. Grew up in West London, and then I moved around to all the cool parts of London until about 10 years ago, and I moved home. But there's definitely a north-south divide in London.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I'm much more likely to go and visit a friend in Manchester than I am to go and visit a friend in southeast London.
Oh, like, that's why you've never been round to my house.
Is that where you are? I'm so sorry.
I'm a Peckham boy.
Just the transport links, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
I agree with that, because I think that's why I'm drawn to the south, because the south is like the north.
Yeah.
South London is like north of England. Ugh. With a bit with the shit transport links.
Oh, right, yeah, fair.
As it's in not really London, right?
Yeah.
It's not really London.
Do you have a favourite place from all of your touring? Do you have anywhere in the north that you feel excited about travelling to?
Yorkshire. Anywhere in Yorkshire,
yes.
Leeds, all I think. Hebden Bridge is a place where, and I don't know what it was about that place, well, I probably do now, I stepped out of the train station and I just thought, home, I'm home. I fell in love with the place.
Lovely. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
It's, yeah, there's something pretty magical about it. And I wasn't surprised to know that that's like where the majority of people who are, I don't know, homeopaths and sort of people that are a bit alternative. Not that I'm into homeopathy, but it's just people go there to chill, basically.
Yes.
That's what it feels like as an outsider. And then people who actually live there. Sorry if you're not chilled. I don't mean everyone in Hebden Bridge is chilled.
Someone's listening. They're going through a really hard time at the minute in Hebden Bridge. It's not fucking relaxing for me, is it?
Some arsehole from London saying, they're a relaxed people, aren't they?
They've got no worries in their innocent little lives.
I genuinely think that up north, people are just more confident about being human. Like, with a kid, when I used to go and visit friends in Manchester, and it just made life a lot easier because no one treats you like you're scum if you've got a child with you in a restaurant or a cafe. People will come over, they'll make a fuss of your kid. Like, young people, like 20-year-olds will come up and open doors for you. And there's something about, I think, the chances of meeting the same people again and again is more likely. So people invest more
in being nice. Wise.
I didn't think
I'm
of it.
Very
I've
wise.
Never thought of it like that, of course. Yeah,
the lower the population, the nicer you have to be. Because if you're a dickhead to someone, then you go for a GP appointment and then you're like, oh, great, that's my GP.
Uh-oh.
That's it. Yeah, and I do feel like we miss out, especially in London. Like, where I live is really close-knit and lovely, but I think in London, people just don't have the confidence. It's such a transient community.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, that unless you know, I found that once I had kids, I lived near the local school and then got to know everyone, and also having a dog means I've got a whole community of dog walkers. So unless you've got a thing like dogs or kids or a drug habit, it's hard to find your people, I think. And also, so what I find funny about Manchester as a Londoner, like the first time I went there to gig in my 20s, there's a hotel in Manchester was notorious for being a knocking shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My first solo tour, I sold out the Lowry and I was so excited. And I booked myself into a hotel. And the one thing I thought was I mustn't book into the knocking shop. And of course, I get there. And it's the knocking shop.
No.
They give me a room. It didn't have a window.
Oh.
So what they'd done was behind some curtains, they'd drawn a window. Right?
That's
and before
so
the gig,
sad.
I'm like, I'm excited about selling out, you know, one of my first tour dates up north. And I'm thinking, that's okay, I can make the best of it. And I went down. They wouldn't give me my money back for my hotel. And I wasn't in a financial position to go, sod it, I'll just go to the Malmaison.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. So I went up the lift and I came out and there was a gentleman with a woman of the night doing things in the hallway.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, oh my God. So back then, the only social media I was on was Facebook. And I went on Facebook and I went, oh my God, I've accidentally booked myself into the hotel that all comics know is the one you don't go to. and I can't afford to just like sack off the money and go off. And at the time, I didn't know Jason Manford, really. I know him now.
Yeah.
But he saw my post and he sent me a message and he went, my house is near where you're playing. I'm going to get my mum to leave you a key. There's no one in. Pick a room. Oh. Stay over. And so I went and stayed at his house. It was so lovely. And he still hasn't found the stuff I've left in the curtain rings. Do you know what the thing is about that? What happened then, though? That was also when social media was fairly new. And even that was more hospitable and nice.
Mm.
Like social media really was a place to connect with friends and your own sort of community.
Wow. I can't even imagine that.
Mm.
No, you're too young. You're too young. You too. This is back in 1973. It was.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. Been absolutely lovely to speak to you.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
You could tell us where people can find you.
Oh, if people are interested in my life or ADHD or both of those things together, I have a book out called Scatterbrain, which is about adult ADHD and finding out in later life.
Oh, well, that sounds brilliant. Thank you so much, Aparak.
See you later, guys.
See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Derry's chocolate orange.
I've got some news from Hull, if you're interested.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so this is a story about Hull that was on Dermot O'Leary's Real Stories on BBC Two. Listen to this, right? Take That, the band.
Yeah.
Heard of them?
Yes.
Thank God. Take That on the unlikely Hull gig that saved their career.
Really?
Hull has saved the career
Take
That.
When?
Well, as they were getting started.
Oh, early on.
Yeah, at LA's nightclub, which I've been to.
Yeah.
I think I actually had my first kiss in LA's nightclub.
Ooh.
Yeah, and on under-18s night. Don't everybody be like, oh my God.
What, 4 years ago?
No, I was very much 13, but looked about 26.
Under-18?
Mm-hmm. Under-18
What's like six-year-olds, 17-year-olds?
No, it's like...
What is it? Under-18's too vague.
Under-18's like out of a club.
Yeah?
Yeah, so it's people that are maybe... I think maybe you have to be like between 14 and 18.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like kids.
Yeah.
But I think I was maybe...
13, apparently.
13.
Underage.
I was underage at the underage night.
Okay.
You can't put me in an age bracket.
Yeah.
Once you've grown titties, you can go where you want. That's them's the rules before people actually cared about checking ID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Checking ID in the old days was weird, wasn't
it? They weren't bothered.
Can I just have a little, have you got?
Yeah.
Yeah, get in there.
Is that padding? No, you're in. Yeah, they were not bothered. A hastily arranged gig for a crowd of Hull teenagers helped save Take That from being dropped by their record company.
Wow.
A TV documentary has revealed Gary Barlow, Howard Donald and Mark Owen were sharing stories of their chart-topping career with Dermot O'Leary on the BBC Two Real Story. And we're talking about how the success did not come overnight. At one point, the band seemed doomed to failure.
Oh, God.
You believe that? Take That was at a point where they were doomed to failure.
It beggars belief.
But fucking leaf, Ian. In 1901, they were playing up to 3 gigs a day. Can you imagine that?
Oh, God, just worn out.
Absolutely knackered. Doing 3 gigs a day as a comic where all you have to do is stand and talk. Mm. Is really exhausting.
It's hard, yeah.
Imagine if you were singing and dancing and travelling around. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
They deserve everything they've got, Take That, can I just say?
They do. They said you would go on at 9 or 10 o'clock in Hull, 11 o'clock in Grimsby, and back to Manchester for a gay club the same day.
It's crazy thinking about Take That. You always just see a band like that and just think you're almost like a manufactured famous... Like someone like Little Mix, you think... Well, you were like made. You didn't have to go and do a gig to 50 people in Hull.
They hadn't done the pubs. They hadn't done Hull, Grimsby, Manchester in a night. That's so intense.
Yeah.
it says, but salvation was just around the corner and involved the unlikely venue of LA's, which is now the Lost nightclub in Ferensway. The now Lost nightclub, as in...
They just can't find
it. It's not called Lost, it's gone.
Oh, I meant it right.
Oh, they've changed it to Lost, like a Lost-themed nightclub.
Yeah.
But how interesting.
That makes more sense than me just thinking people cannot find the nightclub anymore. We've got banging lineups, no one's here. Why is there always a thick mist around this nightclub? Something's happened here.
A thick mist. Gary said, Gary, as in Gary Barlow, everyone.
First
but it was very
terms.
Nice saying Gary. Gary said, 1 week we were playing at this place called Lexington Avenue in Hull, LA's, and we were going to be on at like 10 o'clock or something, but the club owner called Nigel, the band's owner, a week before and said, I've got this event on at 6 o'clock and it's for the kids under 18s. So put the band on there and let's just see how it goes.
You might have seen Take That.
Fuck.
When was
Maybe
this?
That was my first kiss. Maybe it was one of Take That.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, I don't know how appropriate that would have been for them. Imagine saying that on the Dermot O'Leary show.
Yeah.
Where we did this gig, the under 18s. I think Gary got off with a 13-year-old.
But big tits.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a different time back then. Age was determined by tit.
By tit size, she was older than Gary.
People were looking at us going, look at that cougar. She must be, what, 75?
By 6:30, we were all in the van ringing Nigel. Nigel, you won't believe what's happened. We've been mobbed. They chased the van down the road. And Nigel, I can remember him, he looked into the air and I thought, this is a turning point. And from that point on, we realised the audience is not older, it's younger.
I think Nigel as the band, pop manager is weird. But just the idea that it's been going so shit. They're like, we had a great gig in the mud, and Nigel just looks to the sky. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For all those teenagers.
For these horny, horny teens.
I thought my prayers would never be answered. Please give me some horny teenagers for my band.
And that's when it all kicked off and they realised, we just got to look at this audience a bit differently. And that's because of LA's nightclub in Hull and the under-18s night. How cool is that?
I've done the gigs... that you do to mums and babies.
Oh, yeah.
And all you can hear is the kids crying. Yeah. You can't hear whether anyone's laughing or not.
Yeah.
And I find them like a deep existential panic where you just do your set. All you can hear is, screaming. Then you get off and you're like, I think I've just had the worst gig of my life. But everyone looks happy.
Yeah,
I would
say they're not saying to go as young as babies. If that's what you're getting
from
this.
Yeah. I might do a stand-up gig to a lot of 13-year-olds going on and going, hey, guys, imp poo silly. And
I'm like,
I do like
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's better than some of the stuff I've written this week. Might as well make a quick note of that. My next two are short. Imp poo silly.
Imp poo silly.
Shut that door.
What's been going on in Ghoul?
It's another brief story. From Ghoul, but there's been an arrest, a drugs arrest.
Oh no.
After police spot a group inhaling laughing gas.
Oh.
Laughing gas has got round Ghoul.
Is that illegal then?
Yes.
It says here
Humberside police have repeated warnings that laughing gas is now a controlled drug.
Right.
Anyone found to be in, I don't know what that means though, if it's just controlled, but possession of it, you'll be dealt with promptly. But again, it doesn't really say what. But you'll be dealt with, but you'll find it hilarious while it's happening.
You're pissing yourself.
Yeah. But yes, nitrous oxide has made its way into Ghoul.
Oh, nitrous oxide. It's funny, isn't it, when you see all the little canisters all around the street.
I don't know what they... Well, I remember seeing some about it.
Yeah.
But what do people do?
What do you mean? To take it?
To take laughing gas.
You inhale it.
Yeah, but what's that canister?
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs. Something to do with a canister. I've seen balloons be involved.
I was going to say, I thought it was balloon-based when people were laughing at. But that's more conspicuous, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're just sucking the innards of a balloon out, the police are like, what are you doing?
Well, what you could do if the police said, what are you doing? If you put on a high voice and go, it's helium.
That's just doing a funny prank. I'm just trying out helium.
The police would be like, ah, that's funny that. Let me have a go.
No, it's...
It's all gone now. It's ran out. Oh, it's ran out. No, yeah. You've got loads of canisters there. Is that all helium? Oh, yeah, these are the bad helium that we're going to send them back, actually.
Worryingly, if I was a police officer, I'd believe that. I'd be like, that's very good of you. Don't take bad helium and you don't give it to other people. Well done, lads. You keep on doing that.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you a tenner.
Yeah. I could give you £10. And make sure you discard those canisters in the street so that Ian Smith can walk by in a couple of days' time and go, what's that?
What's that?
And he'll tell people that story.
Yeah. So they've been arrested for this?
Yes. This neighbourhood police officer spotted a group behind the Counting House pub in Goole yesterday evening. So
do you know the Counting
the
House?
Yeah.
Did you have your first kiss in the Counting House?
No, I've never been inside the... Oh, no, I think I might have been inside the Counting House, like, once. But it is known
How
as a bit
cool
more of an aggressive one. What?
If we'd have both had our first kisses in the...
In this episode.
No, not in this episode. That'd be fucking
weird. But as in, they come up in this episode.
Yes. In the articles that we've brought.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, lovely that. But they saw them and said they immediately gave chase. Two males were spotted and searched, so they got two of them. Patrol officers caught another runner on Carlisle Street. They've done all right, that person.
Really?
Pissing themselves. Yeah. Can't see him, but you're just like, hang on, shh, shh. Right, that way.
Left, he's gone left, Sarge.
That'd be so annoying if you're like a fast runner. Yeah. But you're just like, I can still hear me.
Well, it doesn't last very long, does laughing gas. It's a...
Oh!
So I've heard. Oh, yeah. It's an in and out kind of thing. You know,
in and out.
You have a laugh, it's gone. You have an headache.
The last quote: the third male brackets was close brackets arrested a little while later. Huh? Is that when they do like
what?
You know, when someone says something and they put brackets.
Yes.
Sometimes squared brackets as if to be like you've said it wrong. So yeah. I think the quote is the third male arrested a little while later, and they've gone, I'm going to put a was in your quote there.
I think you mean was.
It really annoys me when people do that. You just think,
yeah,
just
we get it.
People know.
Unless the guy's called like Waz.
Yeah, the third male brackets, Waz, arrested a little later on. I've been found in possession of a quantity of drugs, class C, B, class A, and other items to aid their supply.
Oh.
So doing a bit of laughing gas. But they've got what they've got is no laughing matter. They've got all the classes.
One of the judge is definitely going to say that, right?
Yeah.
What are the different classes? A, B, and C. I presume A is like your big, your heroines, your cocaines.
Well, let's have a quick quiz.
All right.
Crack cocaine, regular cocaine.
Oh, like crack cocaine. Cocaine.
Yeah, crack cocaine, comma, cocaine, ecstasy, brackets, MDMA, comma, heroin, comma, LSD, magic mushrooms, methadone, methamphetamine, brackets, crystal meth.
They're
your absolute no-nos. If you're listening.
Even magic mushrooms is an class
magical
A.
Mushrooms is class A.
Wait, I want to know class B and C, please.
Why do you want to know these?
Because I don't understand the different classes.
Fucking hell, it's a long old list.
You'd have to read them
B,
all.
B, amphetamines,
barbiturates,
cannabis, codeine, ketamine.
What, codeine?
Codeine. Isn't that paracetamol or something?
I have codeine at home.
From the citizen's arrest!
From the pharmacy!
And the episode ended with hands around your back. When you call the police, she's got codeine on her right now.
It's in my bathroom cabinet.
Yeah. Next week's episode. Hello, welcome to Northern News with me, Ian Smith, the only innocent man in the world.
And me, Amy Gledhill, dialing in from prison.
Amy, what have you found in the news this week? Remember, you only got a 15-minute phone call. some of your class C's, benzodiazepines, PAMs, piperazines.
But these are actual just medications.
Yeah, but I guess I think you're allowed these if you've got a prescription.
Oh, I see.
But I think you're not supposed to.
I see.
Yeah. Up to 2 years in prison, an unlimited fine, or both.
Oh, man. But what's class C?
I just read them out.
Well, what's class B?
I've read some of them out as well.
What?
Fucking hell, load the tab up again. Jesus fucking Christ. The episode ended 20 minutes ago. Just because you want to know what prison sentence you're going to get for the big stash you got back at your house. Oh, everyone's taking codeine and pentazavans.
Pentazavans? I love my pentazavans. I've got to have a pentazavan. Get sleep.
Yeah, I do like soluble solpidine.
Do you?
That's my go-to paracetamol.
Citizen's arrest! Ah!
Trying to put them in the water so you dissolve all the evidence. Thank you for listening.
Well.
We hope this has been a drug in your life that brings you happiness.
Yeah, we do, actually. That's really nice. I hope it's been as good for you as it has for me.
Has it been good for you?
It's been all right.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, it has been all right.
Just checking.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's one of the best.
Fucking hell, all right.
No, I've had a great time. I have had a great time.
Good. We'll just edit out all of Amy's criticism of the episode. About to edit out loads of Amy. She's just like, this isn't a good one, this one. If you hear any bleeps in the podcast, it's just her saying that.
No, have you had a good time?
Yes, I had a lovely time.
Oh, that's good. I'd like to also thank our special guest.
Yes, Chaparac Corsandi.
And as mentioned, you can get hold of her book now, Scatterbrain, which I think we all need.
Buy the book.
Buy two of the books. And don't forget to have a sign up of our Patreon. If you'd like to, you get extra stuff. And we will never stop doing it.
We'll never stop until we cease to exist.
Don't stop till you get enough.
Thank you.
We'll be back. See you later. Bye.
Hello, everyone. It's Ian Smith here from Northern News, the podcast you are currently listening to. And I'm here to tell you that I'm recording my multi-award-nominated solo show, Crushing, on Tuesday, the 4th of June at the Pleasance Theatre in London. But I'd love to see some Northern News listeners there. We're recording this show. It's going to live online forever. So the more supportive a crowd, the better. Hope to see you there.